An interview with Sharon Boutella, a Saskatchewan writer.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the Correspondence School.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Many readers enjoy both your fiction writing and your nonfiction writing. When you were a student in high school, which type of writing did you prefer?
Interestingly enough, I went to high school from 54 to 58, and if you figure that out, that's quite a long time ago. And we had a different course of studies then than young people have today. I cannot, for the life of me, recall ever writing any fiction all the time I was in high school. We always wrote something we called paragraphs, and they were either descriptive, or I think I remember writing something about a flower garden. That was the topic we were given. And opinion pieces, writing quite a lot of opinion pieces. So any fiction that I wrote, going back, that I can recall would be, first of all, when I was 9 years old and wrote, got the idea on my own of writing a novel, which was 8 or 9 pages long and so on. That's the only fiction I can remember writing.
That's very interesting. So you started very young?
Yeah, but then this was Saskatchewan a long time ago, and I was living in little towns like White Fox, St. Louis, and then in Melfort. And our teachers were not, the teachers I had anyway, were not well-educated people. For the most part, they didn't have degrees. We didn't have access to books the way people do today. We didn't have books in the school. I'm speaking of the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. So literature was not very important. I just happened to have the good fortune to be raised in a family where our mother loved books, loved the best books, and introduced us to them. Would have been horrified if we had not also loved reading and books. Mm-hmm. And that was where I was introduced to fiction.
You had some good practice in the building blocks of writing paragraphs in high school. How would you compare your creating process when you write nonfiction work and when you write fiction work?
This is a question that I'm very much involved in because I write novels. I've written and published 6 of them, and I also write nonfiction, even journalism. And I sometimes go out and teach a course called Writing the Personal Essay. And the way I begin the course on the first day is I ask the students, I give them a topic. Usually it's my first day at this particular writing school. And I say, I want you to start out now, write a paragraph about that topic as if you were planning to write a short story. And then when they finish that, I say, okay, now write this as if it were going to be a piece of nonfiction. You're going to tell the story of your first day here. And when they're finished, I then say, okay, now tell me what the difference was. And we go all around the table, and people come up with all kinds of things, but the end result is that there is no way that you can clearly and firmly delineate which is which. And as writers, I've concluded that the best answer is to say that you go somewhere else in your head when you write fiction. And when you write nonfiction, you shut that part off. And I can't be any more exact than that about it. It's not that they aren't both art forms, because they are. And you construct your sentences and paragraphs with as much care for either way, but something is different.
You've written many fiction selections where you connect the characters to their natural environment. Do you think the land shapes the personality of each person's character?
Well, it would be very difficult to prove that as a thesis, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. One can only suggest and have theories. And my theory is that, yes, it certainly does. I think, say, take a large group of people. I would say that rural people notice differences in the urban character instantly, and vice versa. And in fact, we all have the stereotype of the urban person and the stereotype of the rural person, and we could say in what way they're different. And what's the difference? Well, one lives in the city environment and the other lives out in nature. But if you wanted to take it in terms of national character, another thing which we speculate doesn't exist or does exist, there are stereotypes and countries can be very different in terrain and climate and so on. Are people who are raised on ranches in southwestern Saskatchewan different than people who were raised in Gimli, whose fathers and husbands and sons and so on are fishermen on Lake Winnipeg? Or take lobster fishermen on the East Coast, you know? Are they different than ranchers in Saskatchewan? I do think that landscape seeps into character and helps to mold character, but I would be here the rest of my life trying to explain exactly how this happens or what it is. But, of course, the thesis of my work is that, or of any artist's, literary artist's work, is that what you're trying to do is to explain a people often, and you have to set them in place. I mean, I do, and if you set them in place, then you are basing the work on the assumption that the place is important to the character of the people.
So when you are writing your own stories or your fiction pieces, which comes first, the character or his or her environment?
I guess I'd have to say what comes first is neither. For me, it's usually theme. It's what is it I want to write about? And usually I want to talk about something like, for example, the sorrow of a particular woman or the sorrow of being a woman in a particular setting. Mm-hmm. You know, then I get to setting and then I start thinking about the people around me, which means Southwest Saskatchewan rural setting. I think what I look for after I have my theme is a character who can live out the theme, you know. So I start with the idea and then I do the rest. But then I'm slightly different than many writers in that I have already, before I even do any of this, made the decision to write about the subculture of the rural agricultural subculture of southwestern Saskatchewan. So a lot of this is already predetermined.
The English Language Arts B10 course looks at an excerpt from your nonfiction essay, Harvest. What was your inspiration for writing about this particular topic? Why does this topic intrigue you, both in fiction and nonfiction?
Well, I guess that I will tell your students that something about being a writer as a profession, which is not a well-paid profession. Mm-hmm. Very few writers even make a living in Canada. I was hired to do that. It was a job. They already had a photographer. The book was the photographer's idea. And he and the publisher discussed what writer they might find who could write this essay, the topic of which was already determined. And they decided they wanted me. So I was paid a fee to do that job. I don't get royalties for that book. So they determined to me that they wanted me to write an essay about harvesting cereal crops on the Great Plains. In this particular case, since we took a Saskatchewan farm family to make it specific, then it would have been about Saskatchewan. So I was given pretty much a free hand, although I'm sure if I had gone off on what they thought was some crazy tangent, they would have stopped me. But I always try to be fair, try to imagine what it is they want and to give them what they want, at the same time as allowing myself a little leeway to talk about what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And one of the specific places I wanted to go was, well, two of them, because I think we'll talk about the second one in a minute. The first place was I wanted to talk about the place of the harvest in the lives of people all around the world through the ages. That is, give it its mythological place, which it certainly has. And that was when I went to The Golden Bough by Fraser, tracing down ancient practices of the people at harvest time and finding how these practices had changed and changed and changed till what's left of them in Saskatchewan is a harvest ball or a harvest supper or something. Mm-hmm. So I did a little section on mythology.
So you looked at the community aspect of it and traced it all the way back. It sounds like you started with a theme.
Yes, piece by piece. I did it in chunks and did all the research for each chunk, and then wrote it, and then decided where I wanted to go next and researched it. And I think if you study the essay, you'll see that it's very clearly written in parts.
It's a very comprehensive essay, information about the roles of men and women and children, technology. It's a wonderful essay.
Thank you.
I know that you said it was a job in the beginning. At the same time, it sounds as if the research itself inspired you to go with the message of the harvest.
Yeah, I learned a tremendous amount. Yeah. One of the sections that I thought was really important to give a full picture of the harvest was to trace the machinery for harvesting. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking as a girl, what do I know? You know, even, and we're, you know, I've lived all these years on this ranch, and we do farm a little bit, but we don't do it. It's custom farmed, and it's just a little bit. So I never have had the opportunity, as most farm wives do, to really get to know the machinery. And I was really interested in the history of the machinery. So I did a section on that and learned a great deal.
In the excerpt that we study in the course, we look at the section of the essay that talks about the role of women during harvesting time. How did you find this information, and what process did you use to select the information that you wanted to include in the essay?
Oh, now that was my choice. I thought there's no way that I'm going to write an essay about harvest and never mention women, as has been the practice for a very long time. Like, harvest is the men and the boys do mm-hmm. the harvest. What are the women doing, holidaying in Florida? You know, no, they're an integral part. They're vital to the ability of the men to do the work. They need the backup of the women. It might be worth mentioning here that I did go to Ethiopia since I wrote that essay, where 85% of the people are rural and agricultural. And the group I was with was doing the research about the role of women in agriculture in Ethiopia. And they found out that actually women were doing more than 50% of the work, but nobody ever called them farmers. And I felt that it was pretty important to point out that women do a great deal of the work and always have at harvest time. So that was the impetus. Now, where did I find out? I went and interviewed mostly older women in the community where I live. Well, I had Mrs. Peters to talk to, mm-hmm. of course. But I also interviewed our neighbors, women, a couple of whom are dead now because they were old ladies when I talked to them, about how what the work was that they did and how they did it and when they did it. I went back to newspapers in the 30s and so on. My husband has always been very good to help me. He'll take me to show me things like a cook car. What's a cook car? Well, that's it right over there. Mm-hmm. That's an old cook car. And with the women telling me stories like how we used to get up at 4 o'clock. We would set the buns the night before. Every time, I love, this is my favorite story mm-hmm. of the whole thing. They didn't have yeast. So they would save a chunk of the bun dough from the previous day, and they would use that to leaven the next day's buns. And they just keep doing that. And they would get up at 4 a.m. and bake the buns so that they'd be hot for the men's breakfast at 6 or whenever, when they got up. And of course, the women are still doing dishes at 8 and 9 o'clock at night. And they didn't have fridges or freezers. So they had to, when it was harvest time, for instance, the men of the family would have to butcher, say, immediately the day they were about to start harvesting, mm-hmm. so that they'd have fresh meat and it wouldn't be spoiled before the harvest was over. Lots of little details like that that I think 100 years from now, people will be very interested in, that you don't even think about. Where did this food come from to feed a threshing crew of 30?
You've really captured the voices, I think, particularly of the two women that you quote in the book with the poem and the story told by them. In your essay, Harvest, you also quoted Henry Peters, who said, "Nature is so true, it continues to give. Fields that have been blown out, you work them and they come back. Produce good crops again. People should learn from nature." Do you think that this same philosophy could be a teaching to someone who is having difficulty with reading or writing or speaking or listening?
That people should learn from nature?
Yes.
He was a wonderful man. Mm. You know, he's no longer living. He was a good man. And I think, yes, people should learn from nature, you bet. I think that he was saying something to the effect that have patience, take your time, don't give up, don't despair. And I think certainly those all apply. And he understood patience and he understood generosity, the generosity of spirit.
In your own personal writing experience, if you're struggling with a particular block, what helps you? Do you go out for a walk?
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, I have so made that a part of my life that if it's a bad day and I can't go out to walk, like it's blizzarding or something, and I'm facing with a writing problem, My urge is to get up, go outside, walk, and I can't. I find it hard to concentrate on the problem. So I realize that I simply have to... What I do is I go vacuum, I go wash the dishes, I put a load of clothes in, do some ironing, and I find that the problem kind of dissolves bit by bit. When I go back to work, it's easier to see where I need to go next. Sometimes it takes a week, and that can be quite worrisome, but it takes what it takes.
Writing is a process. Just as you write about nature, I think nature also supports you in your writing.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much for sharing your writing and creating processes with us today. We appreciate your interest in the students of the English Language Arts B10 course, and we wish you, Sharon, continued success in your writing.
Well, thanks so much. That's very kind of you.